Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Liberty Alliance. Tonight we're going to talk, pretty much focus in on gun control and the problems and maybe what we could do in the court system and some of the things that we've got planned. Before we get started, I just want to make a few notes. I see a lot of people have come in here off of the internet, and they're not in on phones. Maybe they don't know how to do that, or maybe they're not aware that they can. If you want to come in on the phone while you're on the internet at the same time, you can dial in. There's a dial-in number down in the bottom of the screen there on the, for those people signed in on the internet. And then you enter in the caller ID. And if you don't have a PIN number, then you can use just the number 1, and they'll let you in without a PIN number. For those that are on the telephone and don't know that they can come in on the internet and join the text chat, all you have to do is go to newyorkcommittyman.org. On the left side, you'll see our little blue box there for our website, for our site here called Liberty Alliance. And if you click on the Liberty Alliance there on the left side, it'll open up a it'll open up the room for you. You come straight in. So, all right. First, I'd like to tell everyone they might want to visit newyorkcommittyman.org. We did put up a flyer on newyorkcommittyman.org, and so if you go up to our site, newyorkcommittyman.org, maybe someone could put it out in the text chat, and you just come down a little bit. Right under the main alert there concerning our court case, you'll see click here, urgent message on gun control. And so we have a flyer. This is really a flyer. People can, you know, print that out. And if you're going to events or meetings, any kind of a Liberty event or a meeting, maybe you can print out, you know, 50, 100, depending on how big the meeting is, and pass them out. We're going to be having a big meeting up in a big rally up in New York. I think that's on the the 12th. I think it's next week on the 12th. And it's going to be up in Albany. It's a Tuesday, and it should be a pretty big event. The Oath Keepers are putting it on, and so hopefully when people go up there, people will print out flyers and pass them out up there. And what the flyer is about ultimately is a couple of people have asked us if we would do a court case for this gun control here in New York. And we said we would, but we do need people behind us. We want to get as many signatures onto the action as possible, and we'll need some money. So that's what the flyer is about for anybody that can give us a few dollars. I mean, some people can maybe give us $100. Some people can maybe only give us $5. I mean, anything is helpful, you know. So send in whatever you can. Maybe people can commit to $20 a month or something. But we do need some help financially to go forward, and we've got a lot of work to do, and, of course, this new court case, which will be our big focus. We also, on that same flyer on the bottom, people can fill out the bottom and sign it and mail that in to us as an address there, and we'll add you on to our court case. We need a minimum of 25 people on our court case because that makes up a grand jury. And so any court case that we do against the state from this point forward, we're really going to look for a minimum of 25 people to sign up on our case. I'd like to get at least 100. And if we can really get this word out there and maybe get 1,000, boy, that would be fantastic. The more people signed up on this court case, the more attention we're going to get. Also, we're going to be doing what's called a court of record under common law. The 1,000 people or the 100 people or the 25 people, whatever it is that signs up on this, those people will get to decide what's going to happen. They are the judges. And that's the process of common law under a court of record through the Supreme Court. It will be a little bit of an uphill battle, but they've already got a little taste of what we're doing already, so they know somewhat of this process. We've been moving here in these few counties. I was thinking if we launch the case, we should probably do it up in Albany, we'll talk about that maybe in the next week or so, but hopefully we can file a case in a week or two. I've already started doing some writing on this case for this case, so... we're getting prepared for it. So, again, we do need help. We need as many people to sign up onto the K's as possible, and we need as much money as we can get in order to go forward, but in any event, we will go forward. Tonight, of course, again, all this is about guns. This may be the thing, the big rally cry on the one hand. It seems that people are coming out of the woodwork now. A lot of people are waking up and coming to meetings that never came before. And so meetings are getting larger, and we've noticed. And we hope that that trend continues, and we'll see how that goes. But the bottom line is, at this point, right now, people could stand up and just say no in the courts now and win in the courts. Again, it's an uphill battle if you had a violation or summons or something for some kind of a gun permit or something. I wouldn't want to challenge them in court right now with a violation walking around without a gun permit. But once we go through the courts on the smaller crimes or what they call crimes, you know, violations, summonses, and so on, and they get to understand that they don't have jurisdiction, then when you get pulled into these courts on the larger crimes or larger violations, you'll be able to beat them a lot easier. What people need to understand, and this is key, and I want to drive this home. Hopefully people will take this home and tell others the same thing. First of all, Thomas Jefferson said that if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Now, I put that quote out there almost just about every time I get together with people and maybe do some kind of presentation or whatever. I try to drive that home. And that is very, very important that we realize what that means. You know, if people think, well, they can't get involved in court cases, they can't get involved in the law, it's too difficult, or whatever it is that they think that they've been trained to fear and run away from, well, they need to get over that and realize that the law that's being practiced in courts today are statutes and not law, okay? And if you want to understand freedom and liberty and the meaning of liberty, you have to know common law because it's you will learn it under those terms. Right now, all town courts in the state of New York are nisi prius courts. If you get arrested on a gun charge, you are not going to go to a Supreme Court. You are going to go to a town or a city court. They are nisi prius courts. Now, a nisi prius court is a court that is created by legislation and rules and operates by legislation or statutes. So they're created by statutes and they're ruled by statutes. If you're one of the people, you're above the statutes, you're above the lawmaker, you're above the legislators, so your behavior cannot be controlled by legislation, and so therefore they don't have jurisdiction. Now, of course, that's an uphill battle, but you will win if you stick to your guns, so to speak. You just have to understand your position and keep pressing towards that mark. You will win. In the Supreme Courts, our Supreme Courts have been hijacked by the Bar Association. The Bar Association has taken total control of the education of the legal system. All lawyers go to school and they take the bar test, and everything they learn in school is curriculum put together by the bar. And so over the last 150 years or so, little by little, in their educating, they moved people to believe, and judges go to law school too. So, you know, before they become a judge, they become a lawyer, at least on the Supreme Court level, not necessarily on a town court level. We've seen a prison guard is a judge in one of the towns we had a fight in, and he's got the mentality of a prison guard. He thinks everyone should be in prison, I think. He has no problem giving people prison sentences, and that's pretty frightening. So, but the point is that on the Supreme Court, you know, these are all lawyers, and they have been taught in school, and when they went to lawyer school, that statutes are laws. I cannot believe how many conversations I've had with lawyers who seem to think and believe statutes are laws. And you can't change their mind. I mean, they are taught this. They believe this. They are true believers. And so are most trial judges. Now, the judges that get up into the higher level, and we've said this before, you know, they come above it a little all, and they come to the realization they're not going to get up to the higher levels until they come above the trial court level of understanding of law and case law. And once you start looking at case law, you start to realize that statutes are not laws, okay? Constitutions is the law of the land. Maxims are the law of the land. Case law on the Supreme Court is the law of the land. Court of records are the law of the land. That's the law. But try to tell a lawyer or a trial court judge that, and they just don't get it. So we never intend on winning on a trial level. It's just not going to happen. Well, I can't say it's not going to happen, because once in a while you get a judge, Napolitano, someone who come to realize the truth, that these are supposed to be common law courts and not statutory courts or nisi prius courts, and they will rule accordingly. So you will get that from time to time, but it's rare. So we look to win on the appellate level if we're going to fight through the system allowing the judge to judge, or if the judge refuses to give up the control of the court. But our process is what's called the court of record, where we take control of the tribunal. And one of the features of a court of record is that the magistrate is the administrator of the court, and the judge is that magistrate, and not the judge. So he's now a magistrate, an administrator of the court, and the sovereign, the plaintiff, is the tribunal. And that's why we want to look to get at least 25 people as the plaintiffs, so that we can come in as a grand jury and a tribunal. And anything more than 25 is just fantastic. So we want to push for that. But again, the key thing is that, statutes are not law. A couple of things. I was going to do some research and put together a memorandum on law, preparing for this case on the gun control. And again, let me be clear on this. We're not going just to overturn the new law that came about. We're going to argue. I don't want half my rights. I want all of my rights. So I'm not willing to give any of it up. And our battle is going to be no gun control at all in the state of New York. So that's what we're going to push for. And we're going to be fighting on a common law level, which is like none other that few people have seen. But I want to go through some things that I have picked up in my research, and I'm just going to kind of read this off of out of my memorandum here. And from 1915 to 1917, Ottoman Turkey banned gun possessions, then targeted the Armenians, mostly Christians, and killed 1.5 million people. In 1929 to 1945, the Soviet Union banned gun possession, then targeted political opponents, farming communities, and killed 20 million people. In 1933 to 1945, Nazi Germany and occupied Europe banned gun possession, then targeted political opponents, Jews, gypsies, critics, and killed 20 million people. In 1927 to 1949, China, nationalists, banned gun possession, then targeted political opponents, army conscripts, others, and killed 10 million people. From 1949 to 1952, 1957 to 1960, and 1966 to 1976, Red China, which had the death penalty for gun ownership, targeted political opponents and killed 20 to 35 million people. In 1960 to 1981, Guatemala banned gun possession, then targeted the Mayans, other Indians, political enemies, and killed 100 to 200,000 people. 1971 to 1979, Uganda registered gun owners, then targeted Christians, political enemies, and killed 300,000 people. In 1975 to 1979, Cambodia registered gun owners, then targeted educated persons, political enemies, and killed 2 million people. 1994, Rwanda registered gun owners, then targeted the Tutsi people and killed 800,000 people. And that's just in the 20th century. Now, let me flip to the back here, because there's a couple of very interesting quotes. And I know there were some things floating around the internet. I think I have that in here. But all right. Today, this is a quote by John F. Kennedy. Today, we need a nation of Minutemen, citizens who are not only prepared to take arms, but citizens who regard the preservation of freedom as the basic purpose of their daily life and who are willing to consciously work and sacrifice for that freedom. John F. Kennedy also said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Ron Paul said the Obama administration's efforts to pass the draconian gun ban via executive order could cause a second American revolution. And then Ron Paul is quoted again and said, they will come with guns to take our guns. So I don't think this is something we can sit on. We cannot allow them to have our guns. We not only have to push back to hold what we have, we have to push further and get everything that we as free American people deserve. And so for that reason, we're going to launch this court case focused in on that very well, that very much thing, that thing. We are going to push, and there are other states, I forget the number, I think it's 15 states, some of them already achieved it, maybe 7 or something. But I think it's 15 states. I have to go look at my notes. But 15 states right now are pushing for or already have achieved no gun laws at all, with the exception of just background checks. And with today's technology, there's absolutely no reason why you can't walk into a gun store and give them, prove your identity, or give them an identification, something, prove who you are, that they can't run that check, that background check in 5 minutes, and you can't walk out of that store with a gun. And there's no need for them to make note of who got that gun and who owns it and what the numbers are and where it goes or anything like that. All that is destructive towards freedom. It's very dangerous. So we don't want to become involved with any of that. But there are so many things. I've got pages and pages and pages and pages of information I've been researching on what our founding fathers had to say concerning guns. And it is crystal, crystal clear what was in their mind concerning guns and the purpose of guns and why everyone should have a gun. And we're seeing today, of course, the ultimate purpose for gun rights are to overthrow tyranny. That's it. You know, arms in the hands of the citizens may be used at individual discretion for the defense of the country, the overthrow of tyranny, or private self-defense. John Adams. The strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in government. Thomas Jefferson. The best way, the best we can help for concerning the people at large is that they be properly armed. Alexander Hamilton. That was kind of a surprise. But every single one of our founding fathers, without exception, every signer that I can find any quotes about anything on of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, all these people had the same opinion on the purpose of guns. Not one of them had an adverse position concerning guns as far as that people shouldn't have it. And they all realized that we should have guns, and it is to keep our government in line. That's the reason. And we should be quite blunt about that, I think, especially what we've seen has taken place in the 20th century with all these millions of people. Over 170 million people were killed by their own governments. And before they went out to kill them, they took away their guns. George Washington said, government is not reason, it is not eloquent, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And that's how we should view this government. And seeing what these people are doing here today, we know we can't trust any of them. They just don't want to hear, they don't want to listen. We not only have to take control politically, we have to take control judicially. And so that's what we intend on doing. We hope everyone joins us on the judicial level. Well, of course, we hope everybody joins us on the political level. Anybody who's new to this this program here, go out to newyorkcommittemen.org. That's C-O-M-M-I-T-T-E-E-M-E-N.org. And read up on our website. Look what we're teaching about the political process, how we can take back the political process without the politics, because I'm not into politics. I don't want to get into the bickering and all that garbage. But how we can take back the political process without the politics, and how we can take back the judicial system right now, today. And it's all can be done through education. You just have to know. The first person who wins a court case in your town, you will not have a problem in that town again when you go up and challenge jurisdiction, because they just don't have it. The first person who brings up a court of record in their county, in the Supreme Court in their county, then everyone who comes behind them will not have a problem because they'll be trained that this exists. So, we are on the front lines, and, it will be an uphill battle, but we will win if we endure. And especially if we endure and focus in numbers. So people need to get together to work on these things. They need to get together to become educated, and they need to get behind the big court cases. And again, one of the big court cases is this gut issue. So again, newyorkcommittemen.org, front page. Click on downloading. Let me see exactly what it says. click on urgent message on New York on gun control. And sign up to join the court case, common law court case. We are not lawyers. We are going to run this case as the people, and we're going to call ourselves the people. And we are not restricted as lawyers are restricted. Lawyers can never and will never win a gun battle in court. They might win it on, if they're lucky to get a really good judge and they win it on the trial level, but it'll be overturned on the upper level. Because no matter how they position themselves, unless they understand jurisdiction, they don't have it. And I'm sad to say, I haven't met a lawyer who really understands jurisdiction. I haven't met many trial judges. I haven't met any trial judges that understand jurisdiction. Okay, you have to force their understanding. But the only place I know where judges understand or anyone understands jurisdiction, it's up there on that appellate level. Just go read the court cases and look into the cases. And you will understand why they rule the way they do when they say, oh, you don't have standing. Well, because people didn't protect their jurisdiction. And from time to time, people get that standing because they understood jurisdiction. And that's the key thing, and that's the point we focus in on. Okay, with that, I'm going to open up the mics for questions or comments or discussion. If you're on the phone here, try to keep quiet, wherever you're at, or maybe mute yourself. Let me look up onto the. I forget what it is. I think it's #6 to mute and unmute your lines. So if you have noise around you, you can mute your microphone, your phone line, so it doesn't come bleed through. Give me a second to find this. #6 to self mute yourself. And then if you want to talk, click #6 again, and that'll unmute you. So if everyone that's not going to talk right away, once I unmute everyone, I'm doing that now. Okay, everybody is unmuted now. So if you're not going to talk right now, and you're just going to listen, especially if there's any background noise where you're at, you can just mute your phone. And then you can unmute it when you want to talk. So the mic is open. Anybody has a question, a comment, anything you want to?
I have a comment, John. John, there's a discussion going on in the text chat here about what it takes to be a sovereign, and won't they kick you out? And if you have a driver's license or you filled out a voter registration, didn't you just volunteer into their system and all that stuff? Which we've been up and down the road with that stuff, and we've come a long way. Originally we were planning on getting rid of all our driver's licenses and stuff. I never got my kids' social security numbers. I mean, I've been into this for 30 years now. My kids ended up, when they wanted social security numbers, when they turned 18 and 21 and they couldn't take it, they went out and got their own. And now my son, my oldest boy, is sorry that he did, but I refused to get it for them. And the reason was because I knew that it was part of that whole thing. But it's not as complicated as that. First of all, when they say that you volunteered in by doing this or that, first of all, it's fraud because they don't tell you you're volunteering in. So that's fraud. That's an illegal act. So it was illegal in the first place to take your rights away under the guise of having a driver's license. And like I said before, under the law, you're not expected to do the impossible. Listen, I have to have a driver's license because I can't spend my time fighting all these Yahoo cops every time they pull you over for something. And so, therefore, I have a driver's license. That did not give up my serenity. I do little things like cross out citizen and put in other stuff in there, and sometimes I get away with it and sometimes I don't. But I do those little things. But I also have a declaration on file with an affidavit at the county clerk's, and we kind of even got away from that. But I am definitely not under their system. And as a sovereign, I can use their system. A sovereign means I'm a king. You're a king, I'm a king. And if the sovereign wants to use the statutes, he's perfectly capable of using them, and he can use them as he sees fit. And when it's time to not use them, you just have to know how to declare your venue, your sovereignty. You declare it. And they're not going to come back and say, oh, no, you got a voter registration and a driver's license, because if they did that, everybody would know it would be game over. They're not going to come back and say, well, you got this, this, that. I mean, they might have done it in some IRS cases, because what happens in the IRS is they really suck you in, and that's a very convoluted thing, and you do have to be very careful if you're going to go in. You can't – I wouldn't play in their system, if you know what I mean. Some people play in their system and dance this dance, but that's a dangerous game. It's better to be out of that system, which I am out of that system. And I, you know, I have a bank account and I have a Social Security number, but I don't send them any information reports. And anything that gets sent in on me is a false report that I didn't send in. You know what I mean? That is not true. So I don't know if you want to expand on that.
Yeah, let me add on to that. Quite a few things I'd like to add in there. As a matter of fact, first of all, we've had a very good teacher. Bill Thornton. And if anybody hasn't heard of Bill Thornton or hasn't been out onto our website to start those studies, they're absolutely free. Then we have he gives lectures. We've got 3 or 4 lectures of his up on site. Each lecture is about 7 or 8 hours long. And by the time you get through his lectures, you will have an excellent grasp on common law and the court of record, an excellent grasp. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to listen to those tapes 2 or 3 or 4 times before you really, really, pull out and all of the really good nuggets, because there's always something new to learn. And like anything else, you know, you have to dive into it. You don't have to struggle to understand these things. Just put yourself around it and submerge yourself into it, and it'll stick. All of a sudden, one day, it'll just start pouring out of your mouth. Like anything else in life, you know, just be around it. But in any event, there was one thing he brought up that Lincoln brought up. And Lincoln said, if you don't want to argue a point, don't bring it up. So don't bring up the driver's license. Don't bring up U.S. citizens. Don't bring up any of those things. But what we do when we go into a court of record, and we make it very crystal clear, first of all, this is a common law action. And we call it an action at law. And we put a footnote on that phrase, action at law, and action at law is a common law procedure. So we make that point right up front. We also, in our writing, within our first paragraph or two, we say it right out. This is a common law procedure and is going to go as common law. We are the plaintiffs, and therefore we get to choose the venue and the jurisdiction. Also, we start right off in the very beginning, I, your name, In our case, many names, because we're going to have a lot of plaintiffs. And we're going to put people or one of the people of New York, okay? So we just told them who we were. We're not citizens. We're the people. We the people. We define that in a footnote. Put a footnote to the people, and it'll bring us right to the Constitution. It'll bring us right to the Declaration of Independence, focusing on the people. But in the preamble to the Constitution, we the people of the United States. No, we the people. Yeah, we the people of the United States. How does that go? Does it start that way? Well, it says we the people, and it goes on to the point where we ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States. That's how it goes. We the people do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States. You see, the Constitution is not written for us. It's written for the United States, for the federal government, so that they understand that we're putting you in a box. Don't. And when we put the Ten Amendments, the Bill of Rights out there, we're saying don't violate these points. And by the way, when we get to the, I think it's the Tenth Amendment, and not only the state rights and other rights, well, if there are any other rights, we've got them too. We'll let you know what the rights are. So the people created the document that created the country. So the document that created the country, which defines the three powers, you know, the judicial power, the administrative power, and the legislative power, well, that defines them and gives them the power, the authority, sets up the, you know, whether there's a what our legal system is, which is a common law system, and there's also what's the other one called? Not a military, what's the other one called, Rod?
Admiralty
law. Thank you. So there's admiralty law and there is common law. And those are the two systems of law that were set up. There's nothing more. There's no such thing as statutory law. You know, statutes are written for one purpose. The statutes are written to control the bureaucrats. It's written to control the government agencies, elected individuals. Anybody in government that's out of control, it's law for them. And it does put penalties on them, even jail time in certain situations if they do certain things. But never, ever, ever, until 1911 in New York State, up until 1911, there wasn't one statute that tried to control the behavior of an individual in the state of New York anywhere to be found. It was 1911 when they added like 50%. They doubled the size of the statutory laws, or all the statutes, and they started adding all these things to control people. And it's all about controlling people. It's about controlling your behavior. And then from 1911, they already had the Bar Association in control. They were licensing lawyers. And just over the period of time, especially going through a couple of really bad times in the 20s and the 30s, you know, we had two major depressions. We had two world wars and many other conflicts after and other problems. And so during that time period, little by little, they also eventually took control of the history books. They started changing history, and they started taking control of our educational system. And so over time, they convinced people and educated the lawyers that statutes are laws. And, of course, they drilled it into the people's minds that they're too stupid, they're too ignorant to go into a court and try to defend themselves. You need to go get a lawyer. And so that's that whole process, and that's how they took it over. Well, we have to take it back. We have to stand on common law, and that's what it's all about. They don't have the power to do these things. So when we go into court, we make it very clear. We also put them on the run. We're constantly bringing up things, and they have no clue how to deal with it because they never heard these things. And they can't deny them because they're coming straight from the Supreme Court, whether it's New York or U.S., it's coming, you know, right out of our history books. It's coming out of, you know, even our case law, particularly when we look at the others. But also it comes out of the Constitution. It comes out of the Declaration of Independence and also the Magna Carta. And the whole process of law is built from those three documents particularly, and also a lot of the maxims that come from many places. Many of them come from the Bible. And so when they hear these things and we bring them all together, and case law, which is the upper courts, the appellate courts, they back up or define these things or use those things themselves, they don't know how to argue. We bring up case law they've never seen before. They've never been introduced to, because they've been focused in on statutes and statutory law. And whatever case law that they would get, it would identify with statutes. Because, you see, the upper courts will rule on the statutory courts in the jurisdiction that they're coming in. And that's where we lose all these cases, because we have lawyers who don't know how to fight a battle using common law, nor are they interested in it. And if they did try to fight it, then they're going to lose their license, because the Bar Association is going to come down on them. The judge will report him. Other lawyers will report this guy, and he will lose his license. So we have a situation. If you're not going to get up there to defend yourself, no one's going to defend you for you, okay? And the Constitution is there, It's for the United States of America. It's for the New York State, and no one's going to defend that Constitution unless you get up and do it. So we have to do it, and we have to be the front line to really make these things happen and fight our way through the system. It'll be an uphill battle, but we will win. And we are having little wins as we go along. We're waiting for some big wins. We're expecting some soon. And, of course, this gun thing, we're going to push it and plow it right through. So we hope we get a lot of support. But they can't deny our position. We also focus in on common law so tight. We focus in on the battle. We don't get lost on all these little things. We're not going to argue about citizens. They never bring it up. Because what they're going to say, well, wait a second, here, you know, you signed this, you went and voted, and look, you checked off New York citizen, you see, and we've defrauded you with the 14th Amendment over here, and you checked, you're one of those, so we own you because you're a subject of ours. They're not going to say that. They're not going to bring it up. And once you define yourself as one of the people, how are they going to, they're not going to argue that. And it's a pretty cut and dry case, really, especially when you get up to the appellate level. Anyway, anybody else want to pipe in on that?
Hey, John, this is Chris from Dutchess County. Can you hear me?
How you doing, Chris? Yep.
Hey, good. So about this gun rights action at law that you're putting together, is there a way that we can see the verbiage of the action or at least a summary of it before we sign on as a petition, just so, you know, I and whoever else I try to convince to get in on this can see what they're getting into?
Absolutely. I have just finished a memorandum of law in support of the Second Amendment, which will be attached to the complaint. It may change a little. I wouldn't say by much. I mean, it would be the flavor that you're going to read is what you're going to get through it. But people can read this and see exactly what our position is and where we're going with this. The action at law is going to take a little time to write up, but we will put that together. We were asked some questions online, on email, what would make us different than lawyers. And we made a list of about 15 points, and I can post that up too. So what I'll do is I'll create a page on the front page of our website where people can click on. They can not only get the flyer there to sign up, but they'll be able to see the 17 or so points that makes us different than lawyers and why and how we're going to fight this battle. And also we can put this memorandum of law in support of the Second Amendment up there, and they can read through that. And our focus is going to be very patriotic, focusing on the common law, on logic and righteousness, and the rights of the people. I'll give you an example. Let me just read three or four paragraphs of the beginning of this memorandum, and then I'll post it. It starts off, Memorandum of Law in Support of the Second Amendment. This memorandum of law provides history, intent, purpose, and the unanimous agreement among our founding fathers in their own words concerning the unambiguous meaning of we the people's unalienable rights to bear arms ordained and established for the United States under the Second Amendment. Rights are defined generally as powers of free action, and the primal rights pertained to men are undoubtedly enjoyed by human beings purely as such, being grounded in personality and existing antecedently to their recognition by positive law. Now, that's a definition by Black's Law, 4th edition, 1891. So rights are defined generally as powers of free action. Free is defined as not subject to legal constraints of others, unconstrained, having power to follow the dictates of his own will, not subject to the dominion of another, not compelled to involuntary servitude, used in the same sense as opposed to slave. Black's Law Dictionary, again, 4th edition, 1891. Therefore, and here's the conclusion of those two meanings of words, therefore, if rights are not subject to legal constraints, they cannot be subject to legislation, such as permits or licenses. As Jefferson put it, rights are against government and cannot be subject to it, for government is subject to the people whose rights they are. A Bill of Rights is what the people are entitled to against every government on earth general or particular, and what no just government should refuse or rest on inference. Thomas Jefferson, December 20th, 1787. So that is just leading in to the memorandum in support of the Second Amendment. And when I started off this evening, I read a list of things during the 20th century of governments that had brought gun control and then went out and killed their people. But we did include that in here also. We documented the world history in the 20th century, and I'll just kind of lead into a little bit of what we had read a little earlier. This is kind of the lead-in. History clearly teaches that every government that moves toward gun control ends up killing the people who disagree with them. Disarmed people are neither free nor safe. They become the criminal's prey and the tyrant's playthings. When people are defenseless and their governments go rogues, however, thousands and millions of innocents die. Now, this is a quote right in here. Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops. That's Noah Webster, 1787. Governments murdered four times as many civilians as were killed in all the international and domestic wars combined. Governments murdered millions more people than were killed by common criminals. How could governments kill so many people? The governments had the power, and the people, the victims, were unable to resist because the victims were unarmed. And then I got into a quote, government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire, it is dangerous, a dangerous servant and a fearful master, George Washington. And then we go into all of these different countries of these people that removed the arms from their people and then went out and killed millions. Over 170 million people were killed by their own government in the 20th century alone. That's just the 20th century. So I think it's a pretty powerful memorandum. It's 17 pages. This is what you heard is just a little piece of it. It's a couple of pages I've read through. And so I will post that, and people will get an idea of where we're coming from, what our position is, and how we're going to fight this battle. We will overwhelm them so much by the words of our founding fathers, by natural law, which is also common law, by maxims, by logic, by the will of the people. It'll be so strong they'll never be able to make an argument against it, and it will be a court of record.
That sounds great, John. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you,
John.
Anybody else?
You hear me? John.
Yes.
This is Richard Michael.
How you doing, Richard?
Hi. What kind of remedy are you? I know you haven't figured it out all yet, but what kind of remedy are you looking for in this case?
Well, we haven't worded it. We're going to be very careful with our wording, and we'll really hammer that out for quite some time before we. That's probably going to take the longest to hammer out the right wordings. We're going to look for declaratory a decision. We're going to be suing probably the New York State government. We'll have to think about these things and talk about it a little bit amongst the people that are trying to work this out. Anybody that wants to give their opinion on that, we're open. But we're going to probably sue New York State, and we're going to sue for declaratory judgment, and we're going to do it in a court of record. There will be no appeal from this. We'll have enough people coming in at minimum 25, so we will make up a grand jury ourselves as a plaintiff also in a court of record, which makes it very powerful. And if we can get 100 or 1,000, boy, that would be really great. We need to flood the courts. This is the people's time now. This is it. If we miss this opportunity, we have a window of opportunity right this minute. And we're going to put something through, and we're going to push it through in the next week or two. And we're going to be in the courts in a couple of weeks. It's up to the people to put their John Hancocks on these papers. It's up to the people to support this. Give us some money to help us get through the system. It's up to the people to get up to the courthouse, take off from work. Whatever has to be done, we have to show up in numbers. We have to do it, and we have to win it. We can't afford to lose it. If we lose our guns, we're going to lose our lives, and we're going to lose our families. I think it's obvious to everyone that is coming to these rooms. Anybody else want to comment? Anybody else want to comment?
Hey, John?
Yeah.
Ken Kramer.
How you doing, Ken? By the way, we got to get together and discuss your case.
Okay.
So hopefully, maybe tomorrow night or something. Let me just make this note for anybody that lives in our general area here. There was a Oath Keepers meeting tomorrow night, Stone Ridge or something, Stone something Cafe up in northern Columbia. I got an email tonight that was postponed. They'll have to make it another night. I guess it turned out that the cafe's closed tomorrow night. So we won't be having that Oath Keepers meeting tomorrow night. So tomorrow night might be a good time for us to talk in. But go ahead.
Okay.
Did you want to bring something up, though?
Yeah, the petition. Are you going to put a copy of the petition on the website?
When you say the petition, what do you mean?
For the people to sign up.
Oh yeah. Anybody can sign up right now. Go up to newyorkcommittymen.org, okay, front page, welcome page. Right underneath the alerts, you'll see click here, urgent message on gun control. If you click on that, it's a flyer. Print that flyer out and fill out the bottom and mail it to me. There's an address to mail it through. Anybody who can afford to put in $20 or $100 or whatever they can, you know, we need some money. And also, if people just don't want to put their signature down but want to give us money, you know, anything will help. And hopefully we'll get lots of people's support personally by physically coming to the courts. We will post everything we do as we do it. If we file a paper one day, that night, that paper, or the next day, that paper will be posted, and we'll put out an email, let everybody know we filed a paper. If they file a paper against us, within 24 hours, we will put it up online, and we will let everyone know. We will be right on top of this, so people will follow in real time what is going on. They will be well informed on everything that's going on, and we will be here every Monday to talk about things and where we're going, what's new, what's happening. So we'll use this venue right here, talk to you.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
To actually get on the case and be and to have your name on the case when it's in
right,
court.
That paper.
Don't they have to fill out a notarized paper?
No.
And they
no.
don't.
All they have to do is fill out this information right here and put a signature. We need your name, phone number, address. And you put yes, it says here, yes, I would like to be a plaintiff against New York State to stop gun control. You put a date, give us your email, and you sign it. That's all they need to do. We don't need it notarized. If they give us a hard time, well, fine. We'll send an email out to everyone that's on the case, say, hey, send us a notarized paper too. But they're not going to do that. I don't think we did it last time. We didn't have notaries last time.
So this
that's
is
an extra step that could be a problem anyway.
This
right.
is under the alert title?
Right underneath alert, you'll see it says about gun control. Let me see what it says again. We're back here. Click here, urgent message on gun control. I'm going to move it to the top of the page, and the new alert will be the gun control.
Okay.
And it'll give the information right on the front page. I'm getting who wants to get.
So when's your memorandum of law, which is going to be sort of the meat and potatoes of our pleading,
right.
going to go up?
What, when we file a case, you know, there's numerous things that has to be done. One of the things that has to be done is we need a complaint, or we call it an action at law. When you change it from complaint to action at law, that makes it a common law case. That in itself, that statement, makes it a common law case. So it's an action at law. With the action at law, we need a summons, an action at law, and then the memorandum of law in support of the Second Amendment, which I've already done. We'll attach that. We may, you know, we may change it a little here or there, add or take, whatever. We'll discuss it. And then we need some affidavits. So we'll ask everyone who wants to write an affidavit to write an affidavit. The fact that you can't, that you will, you have a fear of being arrested unless you go get a permit and a license. you know, that is a violation of your right. That's your affidavit. We'll talk about that maybe next week about affidavits. But we need at least one. I'm sure we'll get dozens. And we'll talk about I'll work through the contents of an affidavit. I'll put a the framework of an affidavit. I will put that on a paper and put that on the front page, too. And everyone, all they have to do is fill it in, putting in their name and specific information. And then between the two points where you'll clearly see, you'll write your story, you know, on, for your affidavit. Then you take it down to a bank or someplace, get it notarized, and then you mail it to us. Our mailing address is on the flyer. And
John?
We will kind of put some ideas together on what you might want to say in your affidavit. So whatever you can swear to from your experience, you would write it down, swear to it, and get it to us.
John?
Yes.
The town clerks are all will issue or sign the affidavits for free.
That's true, and the banks will do it too, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Any place to get a notary. I know my bank, I go in all the time for notaries.
The point is we there's people here that won't sign it until they see the verbiage. So I'm making the point that we will get that up there.
I'll get up tonight.
Yeah, because we don't expect
I sent
you
a copy of it. I don't know, did you see it yet?
What's that?
I sent you a copy of the memorandum. I don't know if you saw it yet.
Oh, what'd you do, send it through Skype?
Yeah, through Skype.
I guess I didn't download it, but I will go do it as we speak.
And what is very, very extremely important is that everybody not only download these papers to support us, you know, either putting your name or giving us a few bucks or whatever you could do, okay, and then come to the courts, but run off 50 or 100. Throw them in your car and when you go to a meeting. And if you go into a Liberty meeting, pass them out at your Liberty meeting. Give us a plug. Have people get out to the website, read what we're doing. If you're going up to the big the big thing up in Albany, and I was talking with Dave earlier today. Dave's all the way out there, all the way far out west. He's in Erie County, and so on Niagara County. I mean, we got people from Niagara County and Erie County that are planning to come in the middle of the week, Tuesday next week, the 12th. For the big thing up in Albany. Someone's bleeding through, by the way. But for the that the Oath Keepers are putting on a gun rally up in Albany, there'll be a lot of people speaking up on the steps, the legislative steps, and so people are coming from all over. So we may get thousands and thousands of people out there, and if everybody can print out 100, 200, whatever they can print out. And hand out what they can. If we get 20 people handing out 100, then that's quite a few flyers. So please support this effort. This is the battle. This is it right here. What we're going to do here is going to be a big part of the battle. This is where this is the people's court case. No lawyers. The people. Mic's open.
I'm typing.
Okay.
Somebody said America is not here anymore, and I say I disagree. America's here. It's right here with us.
In this room.
People who think like us. In this room, and then that. Listen, they don't. Obviously, they're not going to report the death of 1,000 cuts that they've been dying here in the last year. You know, we don't. They're a minority. This we and them thing. The people. I'm not talking about. You know, we're bigger than them and as far as the total population, but as far they're a minority, they're less than 3% of the population, this force that is doing this to us. As a matter of fact, the guys on the very top are, you know, are 0.1%, the guys that really know everything, and everybody else is just following orders. But we outnumber them, and we have more support, and a lot of people that had their heads in the sand, you know, they're picking them up and they're looking for leaders. So when people talk and they see that this person talks like a leader, they'll get behind him. You know, it's said that the truth will prevail as long as somebody proclaims it. And that's what we need to do, because basically we are the watchers. The reason you're here, the reason I'm here, is because we've become awake to this thing. So now it's up to us to go out and shout it from the housetops, because the reason you're enlightened is not because you're a smart person or anything like that. it's because you received the enlightenment. In other words, it was a grace. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? You might have had enough of leaders, but the thing is people need leaders. I mean, maybe if you had enough of leaders, then you need to become one yourself. You know what I mean? But not everybody can be a leader. There's qualities in leadership. But what everybody can do is they can recognize a good leader. You know what I mean? People, kids need role models growing up, you know? And I don't know, when you say you had enough of leaders, who are you talking about? George Bush and all these other jerks out there? You know, I don't know. I mean, I haven't voted for a president since Reagan. I might have voted for Perot, but after that, I was done with all of them. So I've been awake for a long time. You know what I mean? And I just know, when you go out and you talk to people, that people are starved for the truth. They don't. They've been dumbed down. They don't get it in their schools, but they do know that something's wrong. You know, it really is the matrix. It really is like you pick your head up and you unplug yourself and you see all these other little pods out there with all the people with the downloads going in a soup where they're downloading all this crap into their brains. And that's about as close to the truth as you can get. You know, I can almost believe that we're all in a tank with a computer program running through my head, because that's how efficient they are. But, you know, it just takes one person to crawl out of that soup and crawl across the floor and unplug the plug, and the whole machine goes, because basically that's what they've built. They've built a machine that you can pull the main plug and the whole house of cards falls. And I believe that, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this.
And I'd like to respond to a couple things out there in the text chat. Gene, right? I want people to think for themselves. Answers equal education. And he's exactly right. That's exactly what we need. Nevertheless, though, we do have leaders. We need leaders. People are leaders and followers. Anybody that's a leader and is not a follower also, they're not a good leader then. And leaders should be teaching other people to lead. They should be encouraging other people to lead, encouraging people to train themselves and learn to become educated so they can lead. But people do need leaders. And people need to know when to lead and when to follow. And we have to be both. We can't be just the leader, and we should never also be always the follower. But we have to work together. And George Washington led us in physical war during the Revolution. Thomas Jefferson led us in words. And either one of those two individuals, if George Washington was pulled out of the picture and wasn't there, we would not be here today as America. And the same thing is true on Thomas Jefferson. He was the spirit of the Revolution. He was the one that put it in writing what the Revolution is, what the heart of the Revolution is all about. And if he wasn't there, America wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have his words. We wouldn't have the knowledge of freedom and liberty.
And let's not forget Clint Eastwood, because he said a man's got to know his limitations.
Okay.
So that's that business of leading and following. You got to know your limitations. When you
that's
see somebody
true.
Bigger and you realize that he knows more than you, then you
step aside.
You,
yep.
Him, you learn from him, and you tell people he's the master. You know what I'm saying? Actually, Clint Eastwood had a lot of good stuff.
Yes. Hey, listen, I put out the link to the flyer directly, if anybody wants to click on it directly, and it gives sort of a synopsis of our position on gun control. I think everybody would agree with it. I don't think there's very little words of mine in there. It's really a lot of quotes. And so at the bottom of that paper, you know, you can fill it out and join into the lawsuit. For those of us who have been around for a while and is familiar with our lawsuit and been reading up pages, they know what we're going to write or has an idea of what we're going to write. It's going to be very, very patriotic. It's going to be founding father stuff. I mean, we're going to make them sick to their stomachs, because we're going to shove so much righteousness and truth and founding father's words down their throats. And that's how we're going to win, and we will win. But we need lots of people. So those who have been, we had about 14 or 15 people, I forget the number of people, on our last lawsuit. Hopefully all 15 of those or so will join up with us. And hopefully we're going to get another 15 or 30 or 50 or 100 more.
So
hopefully,
this is,
again, thousands.
So this is on the website now?
On the website right now. I will clean it up tonight, and I will put more information on the front page, and it'll be more focused towards this gun issue and lawsuit. So I will do that after the meeting tonight. So anybody wants to get really, you know, very heavy into it by tomorrow evening, it'll all be up.
Do you remember the gentleman from Waverly? His name is Gary Perry.
I know Gary Perry, yeah.
You do know him?
Yes.
Well, he's very active in this 12th thing in Albany. And
right.
And I'll try to get some flyers in his hands.
Okay, yeah, him and Al, maybe? Get Al going in on it?
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, anybody, you know, everybody in this room hopefully will grab a bunch of, take the flyer and print them off and get them out to people. Don't just hand them out in the streets or anything. No, hand them only out at rallies and events. Any place where liberty-minded people are coming together, you know, to discuss our liberty, to discuss the gun problem, to discuss the things that we've been discussing for years. Those are the people you want to get these into their hands and get them out to our website and read up to see what we're doing. And hopefully everybody will bring more people to these meetings that we have here every Monday night. These are very important meetings. Every Monday we try to give you 15 to 20 minutes, kind of a picture of things that we're doing concerning the law, the legal process, or the political process, because we need to become educated. And hopefully our conversations will stay on those points.
Should I put an ad on my website for this site, for the committee website?
Absolutely. Anybody who could do that, of course, yeah. Absolutely. So, you look at, this is what's going to win. And even people from out of state, you know, if they want to participate and chip in and help us, you know, I mean, they can't sign into the lawsuit. But let me think about that. Why not? Why can't they? Even if you're from out of state, I can't think of a reason why someone from out of state can't sign into this lawsuit. You may not be able to travel here if you're in California or something, but you can sign in. Why not?
But you're still one of the people.
That's right, one of the people. Help New York. We're going, you know,
this is a common law constitutional issue. This does cut across state lines. I don't know if you saw my email the other night, but I stated that this is really a global implication, because the whole world is watching us right now. And what America does, they get a piece, they only get a piece of our freedom. And I mean, right now, and I say that with tongue-in-cheek kind of, because I think that in Russia, they almost have more freedom than we do now in many cases, you know, as far as business goes and different things. But ultimately, it's still with us. We haven't lost it. We're still the last. And the reason you know that we're the last place is because we're the last place with guns. That is the measure now, isn't it? Any politician that doesn't want you to have a gun, there's a reason for it. And that's why politicians don't want us to have guns, because they know that they're doing things back there that they got to be scared of being shot at for.
No country in the 20th century whose people had guns, when they removed them from them, no country didn't do anything after. They did exactly the thing that we've read about. They come out and kill the people. They kill their political enemies. Stalin done it. Hitler done it. They all done it. Mao done it. All these dictators have done it. Okay? And we have a serious problem in our country today. These people are not Americans.
That's true.
And it's not political. I don't care about Democrat or Republican. I think they're both are no damn good. The bottom line, though, is people in power, they're dictators. They're no good. They're in for themselves. I don't know what it is. Either they're deaf or dumb.
Well, the other end of that pendulum is that we have good people on both sides, Democrat and Republican. That's what we're concentrating on. Because, you know, they've made it a Democrat and Republican thing. And basically what that was designed, and Washington told us about it, that's the bread and circuses to keep us fighting and make us think that we have a say. And meanwhile, that box keeps moving in the right direction. Believe me, I was in politics. And what they do is they give you a box and they say, this is the box. You can do anything inside of the box. Don't step outside of the box. And that's what goes on between Democrat and Republican. Ultimately, they come back together on the top, And where do they meet on the top? They meet where the money meets. They meet with the bankers. And that's where you're dealing with this Illuminati, these evil people these minority of a few families that really know what's going on.
See, I think it's time for the Liberty Party, and this is the shield we can put up, too. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a political party or it's just a party of people who are the part of the people.
Right,
it's
but we have to realize, though, and this is we've studied this for many years now. We've been looking at this for 4 years. We've been looking in places that people haven't looked at in 100 years, literally. We've dug up under stones to find out what was going on, how we got to where we're at, where the real power is, and if there's anything we could do to take back control. And we have found it, and it's in the political process. You know, the sad truth is that the power is in the hands of the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The rest of the other parties, they don't have enough people. They're not large enough. They have no power. They have to power.
Basically, what they did was is they made it so it's next to impossible to get that third party in, and they
only let it come in
when they need a spoiler. That's when they let it come in. So you have to go into their rules and take over their parties, and then what we'll do is then we'll institute that third party.
Right. Well, this is what the parasites do. They come in and they've taken over the Republican Party, they've taken over the Democratic Party, and they've taken over all of the other parties. It doesn't matter what party it is, the enemies are in it. They've got their parasites coming in, taking control, and that's why they're frustrated too, even these new parties that have started. But the problem is they've created a system in such a way that they never come what's called constituted. And since the parties don't become constituted, it's an impossibility for them to become constituted. Trust me, we have studied this stuff. They have set the stage in such a way they will never become constituted. And so, since they cannot become constituted, they do not get equal powers up on the Board of Elections as the Republicans and the Democrats do. For instance, you walk into a Board of Election, on the right side you have the Republican commissioner, and on the left side you got the Democratic commissioner. The two parties are right there. They got total control of the political process right there in the government office. Right there. It's a government office, and it's supposed to be we the people. And they've got total control of it. They got control of the voting machines, the Republican and Democratic Party. Which is ruled by just a few, okay? And no other political party will ever get a seat amongst them. So what we need to do, well, since most people are Republicans and Democrats anyway, and if you're not one of those, become one of those. And if you don't want to become one of those because it stinks too bad, just hold your nose and take a jump. You got to do it because that's where the power is. Well, our plan is to take control of both parties, not just the Republican. We want the Republicans who understand that we have a serious problem, and they're constitutionalists, and they want to get back to what our founding fathers framed out. We want them to take control of the Republican Party. We want our Democrat friends who understand that there's a major problem in this country, and believe me, there's a lot of Democrats out there. Republicans may not realize this. I'm telling you, I know. There's a lot of Democrats out there that are sick and tired of the same thing. They know that there's a problem. They don't like it no more as you do. They see the Republicans as the enemy, but they also see their own party as the enemy. They want the Constitution back, too. They want to be free, and they just want to be left alone in their own living rooms, in their own bedrooms. Just leave me alone, okay? And so they feel just like we do. Those are the people we need to get into the system, to take control of that party, and then we need to work together as we have been trying to do and have been successfully doing, mostly Republicans, but we have Democrats amongst us, coming together and putting party rules together and working towards that focus of taking back the country. So that's what we have to do. And so we have to take the political process back. We have a plan. If you're not aware of it, read our website. We detail it. And if you have a Liberty group in New York and you want you invite us and we'll give you a presentation. Anybody else?
It's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. What's that show with dirty jobs? Well, that's what this taking over the Democratic and Republican parties are. It qualifies for a show on dirty jobs.
That's right. Hang on a second. I gotta answer this phone call. Hang on a second.
Gerard.
Yeah.
Hi, good evening. It's Manny. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Good, man.
How are you guys? Listen,
good.
I was wondering where that information is on the links, John. Again, that page that you're going to be putting out. Where you're going to putting it at?
Right on the front page of NewYorkCommitteeMen.org.
Right.
And you could do NY or spell out New York. It's
I'm there now. But where
are
you going to be putting it on?
Right on the front page.
So it's not there yet, right?
Well, we do have a flyer there right now. You can go up and download the flyer. It's a PDF, and just print it out on your computer, and you can fill out the paper right there and send it in to us. There's a mailing address there. If you want to make a donation to help the cause, you know, write a check or something, or stick $10 in there or something, and whatever you could do. Then print out whatever you can. Print out 10, 20, 50, whatever. Your next meeting, bring them with you. Get them out to the people.
I'm on that page now. I don't see it, John.
Okay, let me go there. You're on the front page. You see
right.
Where it says alert, alert, alert? You're on the welcome page?
I'm on the committeeman, New York committeeman.
Oh, you got to go to the welcome page.
Yeah, you're on the front page, NewYorkCommitteeman.org. Click on welcome. And come down right under alert, alert, you'll see, click here, urgent message on gun control. I will bring this up to the top, and it'll be the first thing you see. I'll do that tonight after this call is over.
Okay?
So tomorrow morning or later tonight or tomorrow night, it'll be there.
Okay,
and I will put a copy of the Memorandum of Law in support of the Second Amendment that we already wrote. This is going to be what we're going to hand in with our complaint. This is the Memorandum of Law. We may change it a little bit because, again, this is our first draft of it. But I think it's very good. Most of it is our founding fathers' words, not ours. So they're the ones that's going to tell this court on the way it should be and what guns are all about. We'll let our founding fathers speak. Anybody else want to pipe in?
Bob Schultz petition.
Excuse me.
Are you going to be? Are you guys? Is this regarding also the rallies? Any other stuff tied into this or not?
Well, yeah. If you head up to the most of us are heading up to the Oath Keepers rally up in Albany on the 12th. That's Tuesday next week, the 12th.
Right.
We're expecting thousands of people up there. So if everybody prints off 100 or 200 or 300 or whatever they can print off, put up there and hands it out, and we got 10 people handing out, you know, 100 or 200 of them, we'll be able to get a couple of thousand flyers out. So
right.
We need the help of the people to get the flyers out. We need the people to support us. We need the people to come online and become a plaintiff with us, and we will post the Memorandum of Law in support of the Second Amendment, which will be part of this case. This is a major part of the case. It'll be up online, and you'll see exactly what our position is and how you can agree with us. This is a founding father position. That's what our battle is going to be. It's their words we're going to use to bring back the guns, not ours.
Did anybody see the letter or the memorandum that the sheriffs wrote when they had their meeting? I mean, I don't know if you know those of you in New York State, that they did call a meeting on this gun law, the sheriffs did, and I think it was like 50-something of the potentially 62. We don't have 62 sheriffs because we have a couple counties that don't have sheriffs or they're under one appointed sheriff. But anyway, there was six or so sheriffs that didn't show up, and one of them was from my county. But they did do a memorandum, which I wasn't real happy with because the whole thing was like sugar-coated. But the last paragraph, they actually got tough, which I was glad because if they all went and just like, you know, candy-coated this thing, then our job is a lot harder. They did actually say that we are not going to support unconstitutional stuff, you know what I mean? And that as the sheriff, they were putting their foot down. And so the last paragraph was the strongest language. I'd like to get a copy of that for people to bring because my point is we've had a couple of sheriffs, and a couple of town council people and mayors and town supervisors stand up and say that they were not going to support this law. Now, as an elected official, to do that, that takes a lot of guts. They need people behind them. And if we don't get together
By doing this lawsuit, we will be behind them. And I'll tell you what, if we can possibly get 1,000 people to sign up, if we can hit that number, then maybe we can go talk to the sheriffs and ask the 50-some-odd sheriffs they want to sign this petition.
The sheriffs are a political animal.
Gerard, two people from the Dutchess County Tea Party actually interviewed the day after that meeting was held in Putnam County. Sheriff Smith, who's the chairman of the sheriffs of New York State, is the chairman of that.
Right.
And Sheriff Smith is from Putnam County, and he said that he will not, under no circumstances, abide to the law of the passage of the new law. It's unconstitutional, and it will stand by the Constitution of the United States and New York State. So
okay.
he made a strong
statement.
Is any
of this stuff in writing?
Oh yeah.
He wrote
a letter, an open letter to the governor. And some of the politicians, I could tell you names, who are strong advocates that stand behind fighting for this law is Steve Katz. He's an assemblyman from Putnam and Westchester. He's a Tea Party candidate. Another candidate that openly came out was Karen Lehler. He's a Tea Party assembly from Dutchess County. Senator from Putnam County also Senator Ball also is against it. So there are some strong people. As a matter of fact, Senator Assemblyman Katz will be speaking on the 12th. He's going to be one of the speakers in Albany.
Any word on our sheriff here in Dutchess?
Well. We are trying to somewhat. He has made some statement, kind of vague, that he kind of is not going to buy to that law, but it's not a strong statement yet. We got in touch with the lady that is the president of the Dutchess County Pistol Association, and she was going to contact him personally. I mean, we are going to eventually have to get in touch with our sheriff and find out where does he stand on this issue.
Well,
Phil
is supposed to be spearheading something with our
sheriff. Yes,
we're
working on that.
And I told Phil, whenever you do it, let me know, and I'll go down there with him, too.
Yeah.
I'd like to go. Phil also, he's the one that kind of brought this to me to ask if I would do a lawsuit. I was thinking about it, but I really wasn't thinking seriously about it. But it was Phil that pushed me on over the edge to do something, and so that we decided to do it. So Phil is working. He asked me to do a flyer. I did a flyer, and that's why I put up on our page now. And so maybe if you could work with Phil to try to get other people in our Dutchess County group active on these flyers and getting them out. I know a lot of our people are going to be heading up to Albany next Tuesday. Maybe everyone can print out 100 flyers and they can fan out in this group and hand them out. I mean, I'm going to print a couple of 100 myself and go up there and
I don't know if you're aware there are a couple of other lawsuits, strong lawsuits.
Right. So we're doing it. What we're doing is common law. Okay.
Right.
I can tell you, and I'm not saying this because I want people to come on this one. I'd rather not even bother with this because this just puts another target on our backs. Okay, but I think it's that important that we have to do it. I'll tell you right now, anybody fighting with lawyers, they're not going to win this thing. They're going to lose or no standing, not having jurisdiction.
These are constitutional lawyers. I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in court for 10 years, and they'll never get anywhere.
What's his name also sent out an email tonight? The gentleman from he's
Bob
Schultz. Bob Schultz is also
I know Bob Schultz is doing one, too. So
right.
If they want it, if Bob Schultz is doing it as a pro se, but he's doing it
actually with the people. That's he's doing
right.
for
he's
Second Amendment.
Doing it as a pro se individual. He may have a lawyer doing it also with him, but he'll do it as a lawyer. He's not doing a common law. The other people are not doing a common law. We will be the only ones. So let's do it from three, four, five different positions. Let's go out and sue them. We are the people suing without lawyers, and that's the important thing to this whole thing. We are going to plow through this system, and we're going to shove the Constitution down their throats. We're going to shove the Declaration of Independence. We're going to stick the words of our founding fathers, and believe me, I got 17 pages of them, line after line after line after line about guns and the purpose of guns in this country, and we're going to shove it in their throats. And no, they're not going to be able to do that. It's going to be a very boring case, very sterile, lots of statutes. We're going to ignore statutes. We don't want statutes in our case. So it's a whole different game. Plus, we want to do something very different than no one's ever done before. We want to have at least 25 individuals on our case, and that makes up a grand jury. And a grand jury that's going to become a court of record. Just think of the power. A grand jury opening up a court of record. And maybe we will declare ourselves as a grand jury opening up a court of record to take this battle to task. That's powerful. Nobody else is doing that. And so let the cases go the way they may, and people should support them. But we're going to do what we're going to do, and let's do it from the position of the people. It's going to be, when you read our paperwork, you should be intrigued. You should be moved. You should see patriotism. You should see the words of wisdom from our founding fathers, the words of freedom, of liberty. Okay, that's what you're going to see in our papers. You look at our court cases and you see that drip throughout our whole court case. We're going to do the same thing here. And that's what gives us the power. Because they can't argue against this stuff. They just want to throw us out of court. And they can't do that no more because we know their game and we know how to prevent that from happening. So they're not going to throw us out of there. And it's not their court. It's our court. They're not going to throw us out of our court. And, again, you know, lawyers will drag this out a year or two. They don't care about these cases because they know that they'll take our guns long before these court cases get through the system. But we're going to get through. We're going to plow through the system. We'll do it in maybe 4 months.
The other thing that I wanna mention is that us from the Dutchess County Tea Party are planning through the local gun clubs. I got in contact with some of the people that run the gun clubs in my area, and I want to see if we could invite our local sheriff as a guest for question and answer, and try to get out of him. Where does he stand on the Second Amendment?
Good idea.
On protecting the people.
That's what they're doing.
If
up
it comes
Green
down that there is a court order to confiscate weapons, where will he stand? And so this is going to give us a clear idea or how to proceed after that. I mean, we know that the troopers are going to go and take orders from the governor. We know that the local police departments are also going to follow that. Even though they say, I mean, I talk to these people on a daily basis, and they tell me that they're not going to do it. If the orders come down, I think they're going to have to follow order. But the sheriff, as you know, is the guy that could represent us and say,
well, the
no,
sheriff
you're not going to do this.
Well, the sheriff is the gatekeeper, and he's the
right.
gatekeeper in the court. He's the guy that goes out and does the warrants.
Right.
So he's the guy. He's got a lot more control.
Now,
remember,
as far as the state police go, we need to address them too, because they think they're elite force and all this baloney. You know, they do not believe they're under the sheriff in any way, shape, or form. There's always a pissing match between them. You know, I mean, Sheriff Mack did win his court case in 1998, I think it was, and so that issue is decided. So we just have to bring that issue to them. But there was a gun sale in Pennsylvania over the weekend. I think it was this past weekend. And what the troopers did is, I don't know if it was the troopers, maybe I'm speaking out of turns here, but I do know, I'm pretty sure the troopers are the ones that made the arrest. Somebody, it might have been one of the ABC alphabet soup federal agencies like the BATF, went through the parking lot looking for New York plates. They followed those cars back into New York. When they crossed the border, they stopped them, and anybody who had any kind of gun that was considered illegal under this new law they arrested them. Now, what the troopers and have to understand, those rookies out there, those guys where the rubber meets the road, is they are liable for treason. They just upheld an unconstitutional, illegal law. They need to know that. And they need to know that not only are we going to hold Cuomo's feet to the fire and our sheriff's feet to the fire, all of those troopers that obey those illegal orders, we're going to hold their feet to the fire, too. They have no excuse. They take an oath of office just like the sheriff does. And what the hell does that oath of office mean? It means that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And so this is an enemy within, and they're supporting a bad law, and we need to send an open letter to the state police saying, listen, as you're taking names and taking guns away from people, we're taking your names too, and we're going to put you on trial.
But
and
you
we
know,
need to put that into that.
I just started another initiative again with the local gun clubs. There's going to be meetings, and I would like to put a new idea in their head that we should start an internet of gun owners exchanging phone numbers, working out some kind of militia, because if push comes to shove and they start going to individual homes, we need to make the phone calls to the rest of the local people to show up and surround the homes armed and ready. So
that's right.
These are stuff that we are doing right now at the local in my community.
Don't let them label you a terrorist for saying that or doing that.
By the way, let me make a point here. I just opened up my email because I was looking for some things I put together I wanted to throw out here. But I got a letter from Bob Schultz, and a lot of people probably got something, and they're ready to go forward with their lawsuit. And what he's doing is he's suing Governor Cuomo, okay?
Right.
So that's good. Let him do that. And he's suing him over the New York Safe Act. So it's a lawsuit against Governor Cuomo. We're not suing Governor Cuomo. We're suing New York State. I think that's the way we're going to go, which includes all of them, all three parts of the government, legislative, judicial, and administrative. And what we're suing them for is the right of the people to exercise their right to carry a gun, period. No permit, nothing. And that includes New York City. Let me tell you, you want to free the country, you want to make these dictators shake in their boots, get guns in New York City. Let the people down there have guns. And they wouldn't dare. Just think of them trying to take over New York City then, and then they have to deal with a gun from every window on all of these high-rises, sticking out of every window. They'll never do it. They'll never go in, and they'll never accomplish their goal. And that's what we need to do. That's how we need to take back this country. People need to be able to have their guns, and they shouldn't need to be licensed and permitted. They shouldn't have to be known who's got a gun and who doesn't. Because when they come out after you, you know, they know whether you own guns or not. They just have to look up on the registry, see what they got registered for you. Okay? We got to stop all this stuff. We got to stop them, you know, looking at who's who and what. So our lawsuit is going after the whole chalada. I mean, we'll go no gun, no license, no permits, nothing. Leave us alone.
Right.
I want to walk
in the store. Has anyone seen that this week somebody, an ex-military in Jefferson County, which I believe is part of New York City, got arrested because he got pulled over in the first car, and they found an empty AR-15 and some empty magazines, and the guy's arrested, is in jail right now. So,
if someone could get word to that guy and take a look at our website and see if he's interested in fighting a battle, we'll work with him, we'll write his papers, and we will win that court case with him by challenging jurisdiction, because he was arrested and he's going to be tried, and he's being brought to a town court. A town court is a nisi prius court. They do not have jurisdiction over him, and no Supreme Court will touch this case. They will not arrest him and sue him in the Supreme Court.
They screwed that case up really bad because the magazine is not illegal yet. If you had them beforehand, you have a year, I believe, to get rid of them. I mean, not that I want to discuss. I don't want to discuss the nitty-gritty of the law, because that's how they get you, to discuss the nitty-gritty. You know, they facilitate things. They say, come on, you got to be open-minded. You got to give a little bit. Well, we're done giving a little bit. But they arrested him for that magazine, and they made a mistake because they don't even know the law. That's what happened. And so instead of giving him the magazine back and saying, we're sorry, I mean, this is what I understand, they said, well, we're going to prove that those magazines were not pre-banned to begin with, so we're still holding it. We're going to hold you under the old law. So I think that's where they are with him right now. That's what,
we
can
have
his
case thrown out.
But
you know,
the law, my point is that the law is still, full effective. I mean, the local police.
It's not the law, it's statutes. You can't make a law for a person or for a people, okay? So let's call them what they call it, the law. Those are statutes and codes. If you want the law, let's go look at the Constitution. Let's look at the Declaration of Independence. Let's look at Max. That's the law.
Correct.
But statutes are not law.
Correct.
So they're arresting people, and then they sucker them into the game by getting them to plead. And once they plead, they accept the jurisdiction, and they're done. They're going to jail. If you deny their jurisdiction and they never get jurisdiction over you, they're going to be sleeping very uneasy at night if you're in jail, especially, because they're going to be worried about the fact that you're sitting in that jail and you have not been arraigned yet. And they can't get jurisdiction over you until they arraign you. And that's why they tried to then, they didn't know what to do with us so many times. And that's why they keep putting us off to conference after conference, month after month. And then they finally come up with these stupid ideas. Well, let's force a lawyer on him. Or let's have a competency hearing. See if he's competent to represent himself. Okay? That's the game they play. Because if they can rule you incompetent, then they can get a lawyer in there and he can plead for you and you're stuck. You see, we know how to beat all that now because we've been through that ringer already, and we know their game. And it's all illegal, it's criminal, and we can have them arrested for it. And we will. We'll arrest the judge. We'll arrest, if necessary, the sheriff and the deputies, and we'll go after, even if we have to, we'll go after the bailiffs. All of them.
You know, Bob hasn't learned yet. I'm looking at his complaint. Paragraph 19,
right.
Plaintiff petitioners Robert Schultz, each and every one listed in the caption above and at the end of this complaint are citizens of the United States of America whose individual, natural, unalienable human rights
right.
are guaranteed.
Right, so he's coming in as a subject.
Yep.
That's why he's not going to win, and I'm sad to say that.
And B, to get worse, he calls us residents of the state of New York.
Right, so they don't even live in New York. They're passing through.
Exactly.
All the legal words to get you in trouble and get you into a jurisdiction. So when he loses in the trial courts and he goes to the appellate court, they're going to look at that and say, "Nope, the trial court made the right decision." You know why?
Well, they'll say you're a employee of the United States, and he'll say, "Huh?" Because that's what they did last time. They quoted a Supreme Court ruling that said that public employees do not have the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. And that was the ruling that they used against them. Now, I have to believe that maybe, and I just thought of this, you know, the one judge said, clearly Bob is not a public employee, you're misinterpreting this, right? But she filled it out as an ascending opinion, because in the appellate court, if you don't get a descending opinion along with the other two descending opinions, because that stops him dead in the water. In other words, you can't move up to the next court, the appeals court, if you don't get at least one ascending opinion. So the judge, that sounded like she agreed with him, but she filed it as an ascending opinion. And I told him, I said, Bob, she's sending you a message as best as she can that you are a public employee, because she said clearly you're not, but then she filed it as an ascending opinion, so you can't move on. Now, how can you be so blind? But now I'm thinking even of a bigger picture. Maybe the three of them got together and said, what are we going to do with Bob Schultz? He doesn't get it. And they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll call him a public employee, and you say he's not a public employee, and maybe he'll get it. And guess what? He still didn't get it.
A few weeks ago when he called asking for people to sign up for this case, this other case that he's starting, I argued with him about what resident means. And he says, all right, fine. What do you want, to be domiciled? I'm like, well, yes, then that's me. I'm domiciled in New York. But I was making the point with him, why aren't the words important to you? Why would you use resident when you can use domiciled? And if he had a call, it was more important, and, you know, that was that. He just, I can't see why he doesn't want to use words that we agree make sense.
He's very headstrong.
Well, he's the one that says that. Words have meanings, and then he runs around and ignores the meanings of the words. And you know,
right,
I love
but, Bob. But let's you know, what we're saying about Bob is true. But Bob is one of my heroes, and I know he's your hero too, Gerard. Bob has been successful in a lot of things, and he got the Continental Congress going, and he also got the symposium out there in Washington in the early 2000s, and he got the a conference going on out there, and the symposium was fantastic. I recorded the whole thing. Is recorded. It went off on C-SPAN. We got the whole recording. We have it up on our website. You can get access to, which is called The Road to the Continental Congress. And so he has succeeded in some great things, and he's won some good cases, but he hasn't won any really big cases when it comes to suing the state or the, you know, whether it be the federal government or the New York state government. He's won on the lower levels a lot of town cases or village cases. But he doesn't get that. He doesn't get the common law part of this whole thing, and that's the problem. But his heart is in the right place. We all know that. But he's making huge mistakes, and he's going to go forward with it. But that's okay. Who knows? He may get a sympathetic heart in one of the judges, and they may rule for him. But they will overturn it up in the appellate court because they don't have a choice. If he's in the wrong jurisdiction, they're going to have to overturn it if the state appeals
it. The one statute they seem to have Cuomo on is that he put it to, the legislature signed it in 20 minutes, and they're supposed to look at it in 3 days. So if anything, they can overturn it there, make them revoke, make them hold on to it for 3 days and do it over.
I really believe that this thing was a test thermometer for Obama.
Yeah,
I really do.
That's exactly what they said.
See what happens in New York.
That's exactly what it is. If he gets
a big pushback in New York, he's going to forget about Minnesota and Montana and Utah. You know, if New York gives a pushback, he knows his goose is cooked.
Well, you know that New York got $53 billion right after they signed this law from the Sandy Hook problems. They were waiting for that money. They signed the law, and then the money came over from the government, federal government.
Oh, so it was a bribe, huh?
So this is why Cuomo wants to pass the budget right now, like a good soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got billions in the hand.
Well, you know,
Cuomo
is the son of an elitist, so we have to remember that, and so. You know, him and the mayor of New York City, they're cut out of the same cloth. And they are destroying this state, okay? And we got to do something about this. I'll tell you what, it starts with what we're doing politically, and it also starts what we're doing, and we're going to build up a momentum by doing this gun lawsuit. And we'll hopefully, through this process, educate people. People have got to become educated. Got to understand you can't go to court with a lawyer because you're going to lose. It's set against you. You'll never win.
And everybody should learn enough about the common law so that when you become a juror, you can defend your position. You have to know the difference between, you know, citizen. You have to know the difference between resident and domicile. A couple little things that, you know, you need to know in case they question you, because everybody should serve as a juror if they get a chance to, especially a common law juror, where you can nullify the law, which they like to tell you that you can't do that, but you absolutely can, where you just rule not guilty because you think the law is no good or it's being misapplied.
Yeah, that reminds me, Gerard, when you actually become a juror, or when you sign the, I don't know, what is it called? It's not a summons, is it? But they want your Social Security number, you sign it, and I would suggest everyone sign it without prejudice, because you sign it, you're getting money from them, you're now in their jurisdiction, ultimately, right? Unless you're kind of giving a cue in to, hey, you know what, I'll play this game with you, and I'll be a prospective juror for someone that pleaded. See, that's the trick. That's also what's going on, is that somebody pleaded in an arraignment, guilty, not guilty. So they don't want you there, and I guess legally, by this game, they're right. They don't have to have you there if you want to play the common law or the jury nullification, because this person pleaded to the statute, so your common law doesn't apply here. Jury nullification doesn't apply. So it's just, you have to sign it without prejudice. You kind of have to keep your mouth shut. You don't want to raise your hand when they say, if you have a problem with the law, would you still plead guilty on this person? You raise your hand,
they'll dismiss you. I understand what you're saying, and in principle they're right, but I don't think they'll argue that, because I think if they argue that too much, it turns their hand. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
they dismiss you. They asked me, and people raise your hand, and then they take you in private with the judge. This is a Supreme Court case last year that I went to.
Uh-huh.
And then I had a private chat. Well, it wasn't so private. It was with the defense, the prosecution, some students, I assume, from college, the bailiff. And then we had the discussion. And, you know, if I had a problem with the law, I wouldn't plead guilty. He says, well, yes, but that doesn't apply. This is my jurisdiction, he said to me. And I didn't know what he meant. I didn't know anything about really jurisdiction other than I thought it was just venue, not that the judge.
Well, yeah, see, if you knew what you know now, you could have given him a run.
Right. Well, I said to him, I'm like, really? I didn't know that. But he just dismissed me, and then I had to wait again, and then I was let go. I wasn't a prospective juror anymore. I wasn't a juror. Couldn't be a candidate.
Anybody else got anything? Which, by the way, maybe we should, we can continue our conversation, but I think we should shut down the recording. Anybody have a final say before we shut the recording down? And again, we can continue our conversations after. Anybody want to make a final point?
Hey, John, it's Joe.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Where did the documents go that explain constitutional and statutory citizenship?
That should be, let me see. If you go up to New York Committeeman, click on judicial process, okay. Now, it's probably under other documents. Try there. We probably put it there. I'm just taking a quick look to see if it's there. I don't see it there.
I don't see it either.
Let me look at the founding documents. It shouldn't be there. Nope, it's not there. Law libraries, e-books, founding documents, common law documents. Let's look there. Maybe on the common law documents. Let's see.
Sovereignty of the people?
No, that's not it. Look, I'll look for it later, and I'll make sure it gets on this page, because this is where it should be, right here, common law documents. I think it should be in there. But remember, when you look at that, there's a tremendous amount of information, and it's really a lot of stuff to learn there. We don't need to know that much statutes to know that the statutes are not laws anyway. So that's the key thing. It kind of renders
most
of that.
What I'm looking for, because I heard Gerard say earlier that he filed the affidavit and that kind of thing, and I was looking to see if those documents were up here.
Okay, the affidavit for what purpose?
For declaring your sovereignty?
Yeah. We got away from that strategy now. We're not suggesting people even go near that because they're counting on us to do those things. Here's the strategy, and we learned this from Thornton, and it makes all the sense in the world. Look, I'm the owner of this company, okay? And I own this company. I created this company, and things are going pretty well. But I decided I don't want to be ruling up here. I want to go down and sweep the floors. I want to rub shoulders with the people. So I put on a different uniform and I go down and I start sweeping floors and doing, you know, menial things and hanging out with the people. Well, then someone else who's running the company, all of a sudden they say, well, we're going to fire you. They can't fire me. I'm the owner of the company. I'm still the owner of the company. Okay, I didn't give up my ownership. So you could be a citizen for one some things and not a citizen for other things. You can participate in the process. For instance, I have a driver's license, okay? And most of these sovereign groups will teach you, you got to get rid of the driver's license. It's very difficult to live a life without a driver's license. Well, I come up to the realization, hey, wait a second. You know what? I got a driver's license, but I don't have it to drive cars, to drive my automobile. I have it just in case I have to drive a motor vehicle for the purposes of doing something commercial. I haven't done anything commercially with a commercial vehicle in a while, maybe 20, 30 years. But I might want to do something tomorrow, so I'm going to keep that license. So I have a driver's license, but that doesn't mean it has anything to do with me being a citizen, a U.S. citizen, or putting me into some category that they want to stick me into. I have the prerogative of the king to get a driver's license and do participate in these things. And it's that simple. And by the way, they will never, ever, ever bring these things up in court. We've been in court enough to know that they don't even think about these things. Forget about bringing them up. So when you bring it up and you say, you know, I'm a citizen, I was born on the soil, I'm a son of God, they're thinking what a kook this guy is, and you already lost their respect, and they're trying, you know, they're not even giving you any merits, and you have another problem, okay? So we don't bring any of those things up because it doesn't belong there. We try to make ourselves look as much as in our writings as lawyers as possible on one end from the standpoint of the procedures and the process and the layout. But we go common law on the other thing, and that's what perplexes them. We write things that they've never seen or heard before. They don't even know it's the law.
So, Carl, if you would have asked the judge, well, suppose they challenge your jurisdiction or where did you get your jurisdiction from? And you follow through like that stop the cop thing. I wonder what he would have said. I mean, I understand he said, this is my jurisdiction. Well, if he understands that, where did you get it from? Let's go back to where it comes from. Is it maritime? Is it admiralty? You know,
yeah,
you
think I wish I understood more about it the next time. I would definitely.
Yeah, I mean here he obviously he has pat answers that they teach him. But I'll bet you he doesn't even understand a lot of what he spout when he goes, this is my jurisdiction. Because that's probably what they tell him. This is
well,
your jurisdiction.
No, I specifically said I believe in jury nullification and that I can judge the law and not just the facts of the case. And he says, well, that doesn't apply. This is in my jurisdiction. That doesn't apply. And I was like, really? You know, I looked at him like, really? And he's like, he didn't want to talk anymore at that point.
Listen,
like
you ask him, does the Constitution apply in your jurisdiction? Where are we? Are we in the Soviet Union suddenly?
Well, you can see how they're stacking the deck. Next time you go to court, don't even let the judge know you think that way. Just say, hey, yeah, okay, fine. I hear what you say, Judge. And then when you get in there, you spoil the jury by bringing them back to reality.
You know,
and
I really thought about it, but he made it a very tense situation. First off, you know, people are raising their hands because their brother's a cop and they can be dismissed that way. And, oh, they know someone who's a doctor who worked on the guy and blah, blah, blah. So everyone's making all these excuses. Nobody wants to be a juror. I want to be a juror. I think it's an honor. But I also want them to know that I can judge the law.
John,
they may really make it an issue with
listen,
what
they will put you in jail as a juror if when they tell you that jury nullification does not come into this court and you use it anyway.
Right.
They'll put you in jail. They
right, that's what I was getting to because he made it clear throughout the questioning the prospective jurors about his question. He angled it. He questioned it a few different times to make sure that no one could be confused about what he was asking. Had I not said that I believe in jury nullification, I think you're right. I think I would have put myself in trouble. And the only thing that could have protected me is that I wrote without prejudice on when I signed my name. You know.
Excuse me a minute. I don't want to lose. I don't know if Joe's leaving yet or not. But Joe, I haven't been able to find that thing out here. I'm going to put it up on the page that says other documents. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good. Thanks, John.
Okay, yeah. I'll be working on this tonight. I'll make sure it gets up there. I know it used to be on the left side in the column, but I've made major changes, and I guess I never got. It's still up online. I just don't have a link to it, so I got to get a link to it.
Okay,
okay?
Thanks.
Okay. Go ahead, back call. I'm sorry for interrupting.
Actually, I didn't sign it without prejudice. I signed it under duress. Because really, it's like you have no choice. You have to sign
it.
Oh,
yeah.
But
they must have loved
that
one.
I think you're right, though. I think if I dare come in and then when the jury decides and I'm talking to these other jurors and, hey, listen, guys, you common law, you don't have – you could judge
that's
the
right.
one. And then all of a sudden they tell the bailiff and then the judge is, get out here. you
no,
can
they
pulled.
Can't do that. They can't interfere with your conversations. Oh, no,
until
they can't.
Until after the fact. Well, then they'll call it a mistrial and then have me arrested.
Well, no, they can't do that. You're one of the juries. Look at that. I don't think they'd go that far because that would be really serious to arrest the jury for his free speech. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. But he's asking the question ahead of time. This is statute. In other words, he's saying this is a statutory court. You don't have a choice. You can't bring your common law stuff in here. You have a problem.
Well, Your Honor, do you understand that statutes are not law? Hello, what? No, yet the Supreme Court said statutes are not laws. What are you trying to tell me? I mean, if you're saying that this guy is under the statute because he pled or whatever, I mean, show me his contract other than that. That's fraud. If you didn't tell him when he pled that he was going to be under these statutes, and that actually this is the case, until you give them permission, they don't have jurisdiction. See, you give them permission by pleading, but it's fraud because they don't tell you that they're taking jurisdiction by you saying I understand or innocent or guilty or whatever. So it's fraud, right?
I agree. Doesn't it seem like it's harder to go that route once you hear
it's not hard to go that route when they're wadaying the jury. And I mean, wouldn't it be nice to get 45 people in there that all knew this stuff and each one of them comes in and gives them a hard time? They'd really be scratching their head, wouldn't they? You know? I don't know. I know that they were arresting people for handing out jury nullification stuff outside the court. Like even around the building.
But that got overturned recently.
Oh, I don't know. I just know that they did, and they have in the past. I didn't know that it got overturned, but that's great if it got overturned. They're arresting people for giving jurors the information. Listen, if there's no jury nullification, then the biggest job of the jury has just been killed. Because jury nullification is one of the foundations of the checks and balances of this country. You know, it's one of the boxes. You know, you got the jury box. You got the voting box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. That's the three big boxes.
Yeah, yeah, I understand more. In fact, I'd be more inclined to like not say anything and just go with the
flow. Well,
you
got to be careful not saying anything, though, Carl. You'll get in trouble. I mean, you could go in and hang the jury, and I mean, you could take your chances with trying to convince the jury. You know. But it's a dangerous game you play in.
All right, excuse me for a minute here. I'm going to end the recording, and we can continue this conversation. We don't like to let this recording go any longer than 2 hours max. I like to keep them down an hour and a half, but we're coming up on 2 hours. So let me end the recording, and we'll continue. Hang on a minute.